What's up, sports fans? Welcome into the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast. This is our weekly recap episode where we basically take a look back at everything talked about throughout the week. And we'll get it started on Monday, where we talked about Roger Goodell joining the Pat McAfee Show to talk about possibly changing the format of the NFL season as far as preseason and regular season games goes, and maybe even moving the Super Bowl to a completely different date altogether. Roger Goodell, while being in Detroit, made an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show to talk a little bit about the state of the league, if you will, and he made some interesting points I just kind of wanted to touch on real quick, and that is that, man, he's actually not opposed to an 18-game schedule, but I like the way that he wants to go about doing it. He doesn't want to just add an 18th regular season game and still have all these, you know, preseason games that don't really matter. He actually wants to take one of the preseason games and have it just be a part of the regular season. So essentially, we would have two preseason games and then 18 games in the regular season. I think it's a great idea. I really do. And I think another idea he had that he kind of mentioned and talked about on the Pat McAfee Show is an even better idea, and that involves the Super Bowl and moving it back with about a week or so to where it falls on that President's Day weekend, thus creating the three-day weekend that seemingly everybody wants, right? Every time we get around the Super Bowl, everybody's talking about, oh, well, why didn't the Super Bowl? We should have the day after the Super Bowl be a national holiday so we don't have to go to work. Well, if we move it back a week, it'll be on that President's Day weekend. You'll be off on that President's Day. You'll get your three-day weekend, so you'll be able to enjoy the Super Bowl on Sunday and still be off that next day. So Roger Goodell, for all the flack he catches, and rightfully so, I am not the biggest Roger Goodell fan you'll find on the face of the earth, but for all the flack that he catches, he's making some ideas for the future of the NFL that I think really would be positive, not only for the league, but I think the fans will love it as well. You get that extra season or extra regular season game in there, get rid of one of the preseason games, so you're playing two preseason games, 18 regular season games. Then, of course, you move that Super Bowl there to President's Day weekend, giving the fans that day off afterwards to kind of rest. Because, I mean, let's face it, not only do we overeat, but we probably overdrink, right? You probably have a couple too many cold ones watching the game with the boys, hanging out, go to a Super Bowl party, you're there a little too late, especially when the game is on, like, the East Coast. Because if you notice, it starts, like, on the East Coast, it'll start at, like, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and then it's, like, midnight, 12:30 by the time it's over. On the West Coast, really not that much of a problem. Game usually starts about, what, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it's usually over by about 9, 9:30-ish. But those East Coast Super Bowls can be rough. So having a day off afterwards, I think the fans would definitely enjoy that. Some NFL news. Looks like Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys have mended that relationship. They signed a one-year deal bringing him back. That one-year deal with a max value of $3 million. I think it's smart, right? Ezekiel Elliott kind of, it's like that relationship you have, right? That relationship, you're with somebody, it's just a perfect fit, but then something happens, you break up, you separate, you go see other people, and you realize, this is not what I want that person. So you end up coming back to each other and working out the problems. That's exactly what we had happen here. The Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott separated. Zeke went out and played for another team, said, this is not what I want. I want to be a Cowboy. I'm a Cowboy. Put me back on the team with Dak. And that's exactly what they did. And I think it works out perfectly for the Cowboys because you lose a guy like Tony Pollard in the offseason free agency to the Tennessee Titans. You need to go out and find a running back that's going to be somebody that you can rely on and that you can trust in. And I think from their time before, they're going to look at Ezekiel Elliott as being that guy that they can kind of put a good bit of a faith in moving forward. So we'll see what happens there. The Atlanta Falcons, they're exercising tight end Kyle Pitts' fifth-year option. This will be for not this upcoming season, but the next season in 2025. It does come with a guaranteed $10.8 million salary. Of course, Kyle Pitts, great at Florida with the Gators. A big, big weapon for them offensively during the Dan Mullen era with Kyle Trask as his quarterback. And he has been a guy that hasn't really been able to necessarily get to that full potential in the NFL. Went to the Pro Bowl his rookie year, had a great rookie season, played in the Pro Bowl. Following season, tears an MCL late in the season. I believe like a week 10, week 11 is when he made that MCL tear. And then, you know, last year just kind of was going through it and just trying to kind of come back from that MCL tear. So I really look for Kyle Pitts, especially with Kirk Cousins, a veteran quarterback who knows how to read the defense, who can make the throws. And honestly, Kirk Cousins is a guy that likes to, you know, rely on the tight end, kind of dump it down to the tight end on some plays when they break down. I think Kyle Pitts is going to be a very big weapon for this Atlanta offense next season or this upcoming season. So I think it was a smart idea right here to go ahead and exercise that option, not wait till the end of this year and then exercise it. They said, you know what, you're our guy at tight end. We want to show you that we have faith in you, despite the MCL tear, despite you maybe not necessarily living up to the potential we thought you might have at the NFL level. We understand you're still kind of trying to develop. You had the setback with the MCL injury. We still have faith in you. We're exercising your option, and we're going to keep you around not only for this season but next season as well. So I think it's smart. Another smart move involving a tight end, the Kansas City Chiefs. They have re-signed Travis Kelce to a 2-year deal worth $34.2 million. $17 million of that is guaranteed fully for this upcoming season. So he's definitely getting some money there. Smart move by the Chiefs. I mean, we saw them in the draft. Talked a little bit about it on yesterday's episode. They go out and they get Xavier Worthy from Texas in the draft as that next, quote-unquote, Tyreek Hill-type player for them. That's going to be that quick, speedy option that's going to help them kind of push defenses down the field, help spread defenses out, because you can use him in multiple different ways, and he's going to burn just about whoever he's going up against in a one-on-one matchup. So you got Xavier Worthy coming in. I think you need to have a veteran presence to kind of help him through, and that's exactly what you get with Travis Kelce. So I think it's a smart decision here. Plus, I mean, just look at all the plays he makes for them, right? I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think arguably do not win the last two Super Bowls if they don't have Travis Kelce. Heck, I'll even say that they don't make it to the Super Bowl this past season if they don't have Travis Kelce. So I think it was smart to lock him down and definitely kind of get in there and say, you know what, this is definitely a guy that we want to make sure is here for at least the next couple of seasons. Plus, you know, I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore. I mean, he's getting up there. He's getting a little older. But I think, you know, by the time this deal, this 2-3 year contract deal is up for him in Kansas City, it might be that time where he starts looking around going, all right, my brother's not in the league anymore. I've got my championships. I've got the you know, records that I've got. I've got the lady that I've got. Maybe take some time off from football and just go hang out with her on tour for a little bit, you know? So we'll see what happens. But again, Kansas City, a 2-year deal worth $34.2 million with $17 million guaranteed in the first year. Travis, my man, let me hold a couple of dollars, because that is $17 million for one season. That's a good deal right there for him. Looks like Mike Trout is out, at least for a few weeks. He's going to have some surgery to fix a torn meniscus in his left knee. This is a tough situation for him, man, because he has not been able to stay healthy. It seems like ever since COVID, he is just, it's been one injury right after the other, whether it's a back or it's a knee or whatever it may be. It did not mean to rhyme there, but you know what I'm saying. He's played, so since the COVID season of 2020, there have been about 500, a little less than 500 Major League Baseball regular season games played. Mike Trout has only played in just over 200 of those at 237. So what is that, about around half of those games he's missed because of injuries? And he's still playing at a high level when he's healthy. I think that's kind of one of the crazy things about it, is that he still plays at a high level when healthy. But he is getting up there in age, and as the injuries start to mount up, as the injuries start to rack up, it's going to be one of those situations to where he's really got to kind of take a deep dive into what he wants to do moving forward as far as his career. He, you know, talking to the media, he said, look, you play this game as hard as I do, injuries like this are going to happen. You're going to tear your meniscus. You're going to do things like that. You've just got to have the surgery and fix it and go through the rehab, which no exact timetable for a return for Mike Trout just yet. But as far as a meniscus goes, you're looking at in a good case, 4 to 6 weeks. So a month, month and a half for him to miss. So that means he's going to be coming back right around the, what, around the All-Star break, just a little before the All-Star break, maybe, if it's good, if rehab goes good and he doesn't have any kind of setbacks. And he himself even said, he's like, look, I didn't really have any pain. I just, one morning I woke up, I'd been out there playing and practicing and didn't really have any kind of issues. And then one morning I just, I woke up and had issues with my knee and went and got checked out. And yeah, he had torn his meniscus and it had actually been torn for a little while. So they're going to go in and do some surgery and clean that up and fix it for him. But again, you know, Mike Trout, just the injuries that he has suffered throughout the last few seasons, it's got to either be one of two things for him moving forward. I think he's got to change the way he plays the game, or he's seriously got to think about how many more years he has left in Major League Baseball, because at this point his body is being sacrificed and being put on the line. So he's really got to kind of look at that and go, okay, I've got to either change the way I play, I've got to change my approach, or I've got to do a better job of you know, taking care of myself and maybe start thinking about calling it a career. I love Mike Trout as a player. I think he's one of the best players in Major League Baseball. He's one of the more fun players to watch in Major League Baseball. He's a great ambassador for the game, but he's got to, you know, he's got to look out for his health in this situation. So I think that Mike Trout's got to essentially come to a crossroad with this and start looking at it and going, I've either got to kind of refocus and go about the way I train, go about the way I practice and the way I play, or my career is done because I just can't stay healthy. You know, I mean, he made the comment himself, like I said a moment ago, when you play this game as hard as I do, this, I can't say the word that he said, but you know, it rhymes with it. This it happens, if you will. So I think maybe back off on playing it that hard. You know, I'm not telling him to, you know, take a day off, start, you know, only playing like a couple of games a week or whatever like that. But, you know, understand that, hey, it's okay if I don't, you know, give 150% effort, you know, 110% effort and saving my meniscus or saving my shoulder or saving my ankle or saving my back or whatever it may be. That's fine, you know. And I mean, even guys like Tom Brady, when they got later in their career, they had to change the way they ate. They had to change the way they trained. They had to do all of this to help facilitate them to be able to continue to play. So maybe that's something that Mike Trout looks at and says, okay, let's make these changes and see if that doesn't help us stay a little bit healthier and be able to play a little bit longer. So Mike Trout there, again, torn left meniscus, going to be having some surgery to clean that up. 4 to 6 weeks, if everything goes well with the surgery and rehab goes well, is about the timetable for him. Deion Sanders, Shador Sanders at Colorado. They're in a little bit of a back and forth right now on X. So if you've not been following this situation, I highly advise you go check it out, because this thing has got more drama than Days of Our Lives and General Hospital combined. All right. So it started with Xavier Smith transferring from Colorado, and in doing so, he decides to give an interview with The Athletic. Now, while interviewing with The Athletic, he told them, he said, you know, it was not really a good environment. It was actually pretty toxic. The guy, you know, talking about Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, he said he never really bothered to get to know me. We'll get to that in a minute. He also said he's destroying guys' confidence and beliefs in themselves. And those are both direct quotes from the article of what Xavier Smith said. Well, Shador Sanders, here's somebody in an interview calling out his dad, and he's going to back his dad up. Rightfully so. I don't blame him for doing this at all. So he backs his dad up and posts on X saying, well, he must not have been that good. I don't remember him. So that obviously is going to ignite a big debate and a lot of controversy on X. A couple of people start to snap back at Shador. And then just like Shador's protecting his dad, the dad then protects the son. Deion gets involved. As a matter of fact, with one of Xavier Smith's parents who posted on X about Shador's comments, they said, if this is how you're raising your son, Deion, I'm glad that my son's no longer in the program. Something along those lines. And basically, Deion responded by saying that my son will be a top five pick in the NFL. Where is your son going? LOL, LOL. I got time today. LOL, LOL. Wow. Yeah, I mean, look. Xavier Smith was a guy that his time in Colorado, it's not that he played bad at Colorado. He just couldn't stay healthy at Colorado, right? And sometimes all you need in that situation is just a change of scenery. Go somewhere else for whatever reason. You're not benefiting from the program at Colorado, so you want to enter the transfer portal. I think doing this interview with The Athletic and saying what he said is, I think it's an interesting choice going into the transfer portal, because now, you know, teams are going to look at this interview with The Athletic. They're going to look at that and go, all right, do we really want to go after this player in the portal if that's how he's treating the former team that gave him a D1 opportunity, right? So I think that is going to affect him. But also at the same time to this, if you are a college football player and you are getting recruited right now, pay attention to your coach that you could potentially play for, right? If you're going on a visit to a school, and it does not matter whether it's here in Pensacola at UWF or Gainesville at UF or wherever, Columbus at Ohio State, it doesn't matter where you're going on a recruiting trip. If your recruiting trip has you watching practice, pay attention to how the coaches treat the players, because that is how you will be treated. If you're entering the transfer portal, pay attention to how the coaches are treating the players. That is how you will be treated. If you don't want to be treated that way, don't go to that school. If you don't want the attitude and the arrogance that Deion Sanders brings, and that's not a knock on Deion Sanders, that's just a way to explain how he carries himself. He does carry himself with a sense of arrogance. He knows he's good, and he's going to tell you that he's good. And Shador knows he's good, and he's going to tell you that he's good. And they're going to show you their Rolexes. They're going to show you their cars. They're also going to show you the play to back that up, though. So if you don't want that type of ego, if you don't want that type of arrogance as a head coach, don't go play for that head coach. I'm not saying this is all on Xavier Smith, but you have to understand, you can't expect Deion Sanders not to be Deion Sanders, right? The guy that he shows in front of the camera, it's not an act. It's who he is. Every coach is different, right? Every coach goes about things differently. Billy Napier at Florida is a very calm dude. I mean, I don't think the guy's heart rate gets above 60, right? It doesn't matter the situation. There's a couple of times where he's might have lost his cool, but for the most part, Billy Napier is that guy that is just even keel and does not change at all. Nick Saban, when he was at Alabama, was a guy who was fiery. He had emotion. If you did something wrong in practice, he was going to make an example of you and let you know what you did wrong and tell the team what you did wrong. But he was also a guy who's going to help you correct it and help you get better because of that. Deion Sanders, you know what you're getting with Coach Prime from the jump, right? His first team meeting at Colorado, he stands in front of the team and basically tells them, half of y'all aren't good enough to play here under me, so half of y'all are going to enter the transfer portal. I'm bringing my luggage with me, and it's Louie. You remember him saying that to the players in that first team meeting? I'm bringing my luggage with me, and it's Louie. He wasn't actually talking about luggage. He was talking about the players he was bringing from Jackson State. He was talking about players like his son, Shador Sanders, that he was bringing over with him. So don't be surprised when you go to a school like Colorado and you commit to a school like Colorado and a coach like Coach Prime, or you transfer to a school like that, don't be surprised when you get that type of mentality, right? If you don't want to play for a coach that's going to chew your you-know-what out, don't go play for a Nick Saban-type coach or a Kirby Smart-type coach. If you don't want a coach that's going to pull you off to the side in front of your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your girlfriend, God, and everybody and say, you're trash, get out of my school, get off my football team, enter the transfer portal, don't go play for Coach Prime, because that's exactly what you're going to get. So to do an article in The Athletic and say, well, he didn't bother to get to know me. First of all, he's your head football coach. He's got a lot of kids in that locker room. He doesn't necessarily have to get to know you on a personal level. I guarantee you there are football coaches at the high school level that don't know a lot about every single player in their locker room. You don't have to be buddies with your players to be a good football coach. So he doesn't have to get to know you. Know a little bit about you, sure, but he doesn't have to get to know you and have to be buddy-buddy with you. But then to say, oh, well, he's tearing down the confidence in the beliefs in players. No, he's not. He's tearing it down in you. In you. You think it bothers anybody else on that Colorado roster when he lays into them like he does in his coach prime way? Oh, it doesn't. It doesn't. You want to know why? Because they signed up to play for a coach that coaches in that style. They knew what they were getting from the get-go. Whether they committed or transferred in, they knew what they were going to get from Deion Sanders as their head coach. You transferred in, and it kind of seems like you didn't necessarily do your homework on how Deion coaches his team. Because watching any kind of audio or video of him at Jackson State and his first couple of press conferences and team meetings at Colorado, you can find all that stuff on YouTube. Watching that gives you a clear indication of how he coaches his football team. And again, there's no right or wrong way to coach a football team as long as you are getting results. And we will see if they get results this year. I believe they start off the season against North Dakota State, which is, believe it or not, actually going to be a tough game for Colorado, because North Dakota State, when you think of Division III football programs, Division II football programs, North Dakota State is the standard. That's a good football program. They're competing and winning national championships every single year. That's not going to be a cakewalk for Colorado. So we'll see if the results are there for Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes coming up this regular season when it gets kicked off. But for right now, the coaching style, as long as it yields results in the fall, it doesn't matter how he gets to the job, as long as he's doing the job, right? You can make eggs 12 different ways. As long as you're making eggs, nobody cares how you're doing it. So I think for Xavier Smith, you should have done a little bit more research into the coaching staff you were getting into before you transferred to Colorado. I know it was probably at the time it was like, oh, yeah, man, Coach Prime, everybody's going to Colorado. I'm going to follow. Do a little research. So, again, if you're a high school football player right now or you have a high school football player that's being recruited, have them pay attention to the coaches and how they coach, how they talk, and how they handle their football team, because that is how they're going to be handled if they commit to that school. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. That's all you got to do. Now, as far as anything involving Coach Prime and Shador in this situation, again, like I said a moment ago, you can't blame Coach Prime for being Coach Prime, right? I'm not going to, you know, he's bringing his luggage with him, and it's Louis, right? You know what you're going to get with Coach Prime as your head coach. And as far as Shador, Shador is expected to be a part of the draft class next year for that quarterback class in 2025. This could maybe potentially hurt him, just because it kind of shows that maybe if there's a little bit of a rift in the locker room, he's going to be a guy that could kind of stir the pot a little bit. But ultimately, I think once he, you know, starts playing again, once the ball gets snapped off this August for the season, I don't think anybody's going to remember this situation. I think the scouts are going to see the highlights. They're going to see what he can do between the white lines, and they're going to go, huh, yeah, I actually forgot about that little thing on X with Xavier Smith. And it's really not going to be a non-factor. So I don't really see this playing negatively to Coach Prime. I don't see this playing negatively to Shador Sanders. Xavier Smith, I don't really see it playing negatively to him, outside of maybe there might be a team inside college football that he could want to transfer to that might look at this and go, okay, are you going to, if I coach you hard, if I coach you tough, are you going to get upset and run and do an interview and enter the transfer portal here? Because there are coaches that coach similarly to what Coach Prime does. And then there's the coaches like Kirby Smart, who are going to be a little bit more like Nick Saban. They're going to chew you out. They're going to yell at you. But then they're going to course correct and show you how to correct things. Again, each coach has their own coaching style. They're all different. They're all like fingerprints. All of our fingerprints are different. Just because they're different doesn't make them wrong. Something I want to do to close out today's show, and I'm going to start doing this throughout the summer, and we'll start with looking at, you know, SEC teams throughout the summer as well. But I want to start today. I want to keep it local here today and take a way too early look ahead for UWF football, or our own very own University of West Argos here in Pensacola, which you can actually hear right here on ESPN Pensacola. So I want to just take a quick look at what Mike could expect as we head into year two with Caleb Nobles. First and foremost, was at their spring game about a month or so ago. One thing I definitely noticed from that, lots of new faces. I mean, if you watch the NFL draft or you were on the ESPN Pensacola Facebook page during the draft, you saw several Argos taken in this year's draft, including quarterback Pee Wee Jarrett, John Giles at receiver, some offensive linemen taken as well. So lots of Argos heading to the NFL through whether they were selected, like Austin Reed, who was a former Argo. He was selected, going to be going to Chicago, I believe. You look at these other guys that were undrafted free agents that were signed after the draft. Lots of guys leaving the Argos that made impacts over the last couple of season, like John Giles, like Pee Wee Jarrett. So there are going to be new faces, and one of those new faces, Marcus Stokes, potentially the starting quarterback. Obviously, nothing has been named yet. Marcus Stokes could potentially be that guy at the quarterback position for the Argos, and if that name sounds familiar to you, yes, that is the same Marcus Stokes, who at one time was committed to the University of Florida. So definitely looking forward to seeing where this offense could go under him. Definitely has the arm strength. He's got some mobility with him as well. Does a great job of getting out of the pocket while keeping his eyes downfield to still find receivers who might come open on the backside of a play. So definitely looking forward to seeing what Marcus Stokes could potentially bring. But they've also got a couple of other good guys inside that quarterback room as well. And I think it's just going to be one of those years. I think that this team is going to get better as the season progresses because, like I said, lots of new faces, lots of new guys at key positions. So it's going to be one of those things to where I think Caleb Nobles is doing a great job of bringing those new faces along and getting them ready for the season. But I think this team is really going to be a team that's going to be stronger at the end of the season than what we saw at the start, or what we'll see at the start of the season, if they can stay healthy. That was a big issue for them last year. Had a lot of injuries, including a little bit of a banged up situation there with Pee Wee Jarrett. That definitely plagued them heading into the postseason. But I'm looking forward to year two of the Argos. I think they could have something special. Again, lots of new faces that have to get in there. They've got to get that experience first. So really look for the Argos to be a second half of the season team. At least in my book, from what I see for them, I really think they're going to be better heading into the second half of the season than they will. Not saying they won't be good to start the season. They'll be good. Caleb Nobles is going to make sure this team is prepared and ready to go. You can believe that. This is a guy that played for Pete Shinnick. He, you know, was an assistant coach out with Clemson for a little while. He knows what he's doing as the head coach at UWF. He's going to have this team ready. But like I said, with these new faces, the more they play, the better they're going to get, which means I think UWF's really going to be stronger in the second half of the season than what they will be up front. And that will do it for this weekly recap of the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.